Hello, I'm Mario Sylvander. I'm the Director of Higher Education and Careers at Wellington College Hangzhou, and also the host of this, the UniDays podcast, where our aim is to bring to life the lived experiences from our community and for our community. So I'd like to welcome today our guest, Ms. Yingnan Wang. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Yingnan. I'm the math teacher in Wellington, Hangzhou, but I'm also the pastoral grade leader in sixth form.
Super. You anticipated my question to ask you to introduce yourself. So that means off we go, I think, to hear about various aspects of your university experience. Let's get started with leading into your undergraduate educational experience. And could you talk to us a bit about how did you choose where to apply to university? And where did you apply?
Okay. I have to admit, it was over 23 years ago. It's a long, long, long time. So back then, I don't remember we have things like a QS ranking, things like that. But I certainly remember to check on the Times graduation. So we have Times Good University ranking in the UK because I did my A-levels in the UK. So, well, like everyone else back that time, we actually locate the good universities that we think, and then we just start researching by ourselves. So see what type of courses that university offers, what is entry grades level, and whether it's possible to apply for or this and that. And then we come up with a list of universities that we applied through the UCAS.
So you're suggesting that you did your research, your investigation, you're identifying the courses yourself, but I'm guessing maybe you didn't do it all alone?
Oh, I'm unfortunately, that's all by myself. That times in the college I went to, we didn't have a team called university counselors. We didn't have a team like that at all. So that's why I always say to my sixth form students, these guys are very lucky and have privilege, have a whole group of experts to help them to search for university and give them guidance. Because back my time, there's nothing at all. So we all have to do everything by ourselves. Hmm. Yeah, and as you can imagine, that was back in 2000. Just remind everyone, there was no smartphone, there was no YouTube, no TikTok. The search engine is very, very limited that time. And
you don't have to tell me these things. Look at me.
Exactly. I didn't even have my personal laptop until I went into university. So everything, all the research, all done in the college library.
Old school with words on paper.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So let's go ahead and name names and tell us the university you attended, but also then tell us the other universities that might have offered. I'm not going to ask you all the universities you applied to, but any others that you wish to share that you considered and had the choice.
Yes. So I had three offers out of five that time. So I got offers from Bristol. I got the offers from City University in London. And also I got the offer from University of Southampton, which is the one I actually attended.
Fantastic. So an obvious question then is, with those offers, how did you make your decision about which of those three to attend?
It was such an easy decision to make back that time because Southampton offered me a great scholarship for 3 years undergraduate course. That is probably the only university back that time I knew, well, according to my research, that was willing to offer international students, which covers half of the tuition fees every year. So that's quite significant amount of money that time.
Yeah. And it, so this was helping your parents out so that they didn't have to pay as much.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. Back that time, you know, the currency exchange rate is not very very nice. Mm-hmm. So it's helped a lot in terms of financial, you know, pressure from my parents. So that's why I chose to go to Southampton University. But and also, it is a very decent university. I'm quite glad that I made such a choice because I don't regret that at all.
Fantastic. Mm. Well, what was in fact the course that you studied?
Guess.
I'm going to take a wild stab at mathematics.
Bingo. Okay. Yes. it's just a little bit different compared with the normal mathematical degree because I got the great opportunity to change my 3 years undergraduate course into a sandwich course.
Yes. Explain the sandwich. We talk with students
of
about
course.
This.
So normally in the UK, it's 3 years university course for all the undergraduate courses. However, if you have the opportunity to take a replacement year or we call gap year, whatever, okay? So which means you do the first 2 years in the university, you finish your second year, and then you will be working in a company to get paid and for the whole 4 year. And then come back to finish your third year in the university. So in total, it would be 4 years. And that's why they call it a sandwich course.
That's right. They've put the meat of the experience in industry between the bread of the first, second, and then the third year.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So you did do 4 years.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that sandwich year. What did you do? Where?
Okay, so I have to say I was a very lucky person because before I started my university course, I got the opportunity to take an unpaid work experience job in a local accounting firm in the UK. It was in Reigate in Surrey. So it was just like a 1 month's work experience. Back that time, the things I could do was quite minimum. So because I was just like a sixth form student, I didn't have much knowledge about accounting, how to read all these balance sheets and this and that. So a lot of things I did was quite administration, like filing, get phone calls to the customers because it's an accounting firm, so I need to get all this, you know, phone calls done. However, because of that, so it's kind of like put me in the advantage comparing with my peers that time. Southampton has the privilege that they got really close connections with all these industries. So JP Morgan Chase, one of the biggest investment banks in the world, they actually came to the campus and they were trying to recruit two students for that year to work in their office in Bournemouth, which is quite close to Southampton. So, yeah, after the application process, interviews, this and that, I got the chance to work for them the next year.
But that was competitive. There were other, more than two candidates for the two spots at JP Morgan.
It was more than 100 applications for sure, because you get paid. And back that time, it's good money. So it's very competitive. And I have to say, work experience in the early stage definitely helped me a lot to put my myself into the front line.
So what was it like moving then back into your third year of study after having your feet on the ground in industry, getting money instead of paying money, even though it was only half the money?
It feels like, okay, people always say, which world is real or which world is unreal. Because out in the JP Morgan, out working, like you said, you get money, you rent, you've been treated and behave like an adult. You don't need to worry about coursework. All you need to do is just office, tons of emails, deadlines, meetings. You know, suddenly you change from a student to a professional. And then back to uni, it wasn't easy at all. Think about that. All my peers, they already graduated.
Because not so many students do the sandwich program.
Only two students in my year. So only me and one of my other friends. So when we came back for the third year, we didn't know anyone in that year group because they were 1 year younger than us. It was kind of like an awkward. And in terms of group work, you know, things like that is even harder. And also suddenly you feel like, wow, I'm back to the time that I need to study a lot, do a lot of homework, meeting the deadlines and essays, dissertations, you know, and the exams. So, it is like very interesting switch. It wasn't easy.
Would you have done it differently if you were to repeat? You wouldn't do it differently.
Although it is challenging when we came back, but still, it is such a nice experience and this adding great values on your CVs.
For sure, from a purely practical standpoint. I wonder if when you went back in your fourth year and you didn't know the cohort anymore the way you did before, how did those younger, less experienced classmates of yours view you?
I couldn't remember now. It feels like I was very disconnected to them.
Did they, though, think that you had brought a certain level of, say, wisdom and sort of knowing the way the world works more so outside of,
classes? I was definitely quite, I'm not saying famous, but quite well-known in the Chinese students' society because that time is not very common for Chinese students actually get a work experience during the university time. A lot of people wowed, and I did have quite a few, younger Chinese students approach to me, ask me for tips on the interviews and things and that. But other than that, people were really busy in the third year. There's so many things going on in the final years. We need to get all the exam done. We need to start preparing for application to the master degrees, which is the next level. So, people were quite busy with what they are actually doing or finding a job like me.
Also, for sure. Let's jump to something rather general. What was the best experience you had during your university time? You can name more than one if you wish.
Independency, that's for sure. Because you are allowed to go to the pub to drink. You can go out with your friends to enjoy the university life. But also, I think the most important bit I learned, or the best things I enjoyed in the unit, was the ability that you build up through the years in terms of self-learning and all the researching skills. And one by one tasks, you can see that you always came out from your comfort zone. Okay, you have something you thought, it's really challenging, but you work on it and you beat up and you get the goal. So it's a great satisfaction feeling to give you more confidence to prepare you for the future life and careers. So I think that is probably the best experience I learned from the uni.
Can you remember any specific challenges that you at first said, oh man, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this, and then you had to do it? And you did, so that afterward you could say, oh, I guess I could do that.
Yes, I think it's one of the modules. It was very challenging because I'll tell you a little bit more about my background, because that time when I did my A-levels, the college, they didn't offer further maths options because there were simply just not enough students were interested in that subject. So I only just did A-level maths, but not further maths. But if you think back now, a lot of my other peers or co-hosts, they actually did a lot of further math skills and studies when they were in the A-levels. So which means I was not on the same level as others. So I found really challenging the first semester when I started in the uni. It was huge pressure. It's not only just studies, because suddenly you were expected to do all the groceries, all the shoppings by yourself, okay? You need to cook, right? You need to go this and that, everything planned by yourself. You need to, basically, there's no one there to help you anymore, okay? So the pressure was huge, especially for the subjects. So the only thing I could do is just put more effort in. Library hours was long. Okay, there was no time to enjoy my weekends like other freshers. You know, the fresher year, everyone is out during the weekends. But I spent most of my time in the library trying to catch up. And also back that time, everything has been done by the book. So you have to search to see which book you think would be able to help you. And you might not be right. So you probably turns up like trying to find 10 or 12 piles of books, getting to the table and start reading them, trying to figure out what's going on there. And then you think, oh my God, after 3-4 hours later, you realize that wasn't the perfect book to read. So yeah, so things like that as example. But I think I used three months to try to catch up as the level that I wish I could be. Mm-hmm. So it was a great experience because I knew I could do it and that I will be able to do it.
Fantastic. Mm. And well done. Well, let's go to the worst experience that you recall today about your time at university.
Okay. I would say, yes, sometimes you think you can do it, right? And you have the great faith in yourself. But also, the university life also taught me that we should have a really better understanding of ourselves. So, one of the modules was called mathematical programming. As you can imagine, that course was very computer science based.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And I had zero computer knowledge, like programming knowledge zero. But somehow I wasn't careful and clever enough why I chose my modules. I thought, oh, that must be really helpful. You know, back that time, you just want to learn something really helpful, right? So I picked up this module and I gave it a go, but it's really, really, it was really hard. And I just couldn't get to the degree that I wished I could. So after that, I thought, you know what? I knew this is something I'm probably not able to do it. I don't have the talent and I don't have his experience. And that is not something that I can easily build up on by myself.
Fast when there are deadlines,
yeah.
And everything
it's
else.
It's just too much to handle in one go. Yeah, okay. That is probably the worst experience. No programming.
But just one choice that didn't turn out to be as manageable as you thought.
Mm.
If you could change anything about your university experience, or for that matter, your university itself, what might that be?
I definitely would say to myself, be more social.
Mm.
Because back that time, I was too busy to study, too busy to trying to get all this work experience for myself to be a built up my CV, but I actually forgot one thing really important, which is networking. Well, not networking outside of uni, but networking within the university.
Are you referring to networking as
student
friend making, or more than that?
Well, maybe more than that, because you tend to make friends with the same year group, with
sure.
the same cohort. But it's really necessary to know some people who are above you, who actually can give you more advice because they've already been there. Okay, so they can actually give you more advice like, oh, don't take this module, or this is quite challenging, or that is quite easy module, or that is a very interesting module. You know, some very valuable advice from the students who are actually above you. But how can you actually know those people? Because in the UK, all the freshers, they are going to, well, normally they stay in the university accommodation halls.
Right.
Okay, that's why people know everyone in the same year group. Okay, especially within the same subject. Okay, that like in the math department. But once you finish your first year, majority, I would say probably 90% of the students typically is the UK students. Most people move out of the university accommodation hall in the second year and also the third year. So it's quite difficult for us to know the older students from the university because they all move out with their friends. They could be anywhere renting out in the city. So my advice, well, if things could go back, I would say join more societies. That is a place that you could meet the older students, yeah, to build up your own, you know, the wider friendship circles.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see. I'll come back at the end to sort of any question that you may want to address about your time at university, but that I didn't ask. But I want to take a next step forward and ask you if so, how what you studied at university is being put to use by you today?
Well, at the moment, I'm using the math skills to teach. So yes, so luckily I'm doing what I have learned in the university. But it wasn't the case when I graduated. When I graduated, my job was nothing to do with mathematics. So yes, so I changed my career. From a financial advisor to a math teacher. It's a dramatic change.
Financially, I suppose, among others.
Yes, yes.
But studying math at university is not teaching math, is it?
No. However, the reason why I like my math is because it's not just about numbers and difficult differentiations, you know, vectors, such. It's more like to train you to think, have a really nice logic. So everything you do, it's very easy to tell whether a teacher or a person has a strong math background because that person will be very, very logical. So always say step 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. They have to follow this logic. They're not like the artists, you know, have this great idea bumping out from their head. No, math people are more organized and logical thinkers, I think.
How would you rate my math background?
You must be very creative because what you do.
Because I'm very disorderly?
No, because you are, you must be like BA background. Am I right?
I actually did foreign languages, but I yeah. also began engineering.
Oh, okay.
And decided to just go the other route. So I'm a bit of
both.
I think I'm a little bit of both, yes.
All right, okay.
Hopefully a useful mixture.
Yes, I think so. I think okay. You definitely get the arty bits better than me.
Well, I don't know. Look at your stylish and everything. No. Take great care with the fashion statements that you make.
But I cannot draw. That's okay. Something I really envy about the arts teacher. Anyway.
Is there something that nobody would guess about you or your university experience? This could, again, be something you want to reveal that is about you or about something surprising no one would really guess about Southampton or you know, studying math at that level.
I would say something about my career. Let me ask you, by the time I changed my career, how old do you think I was? Roughly. Not precisely.
So when you decided to make the switch
yes.
from finance to teaching.
Yes.
I'm going to say it might have taken you 8 years to realize that you had a different calling.
Okay. I was 35.
So without getting into your actual age, which I would never ask.
Good point.
Just make some do some vague math here and say yeah. that therefore you had done it about 10 years. Am I right?
Yeah.
10 or a
10
little
years.
More than that?
Yeah. Because by the time I changed my career, everyone was shocked. Everyone. Even the head teacher in the school who actually hired me. I remember clearly one of the job interview questions she asked was, you do realize, you know, the salary is going to be dramatically lower than what you have right now. I said, yeah, I'm fully aware of that. Yeah, I was 35. And people thinking, you know, why in the middle of 30 she changed the career? Because it's not easy switch. I have to give up a year to prepare for the necessary qualifications.
Sure.
Because in the UK, if you want to be a qualified teacher, you must have GCSE certificates in maths and English language. Mm. So, but I didn't do my GCSE in the UK at that time. So I had to actually pass those two exams and in order to be able to get the teacher training course. Yes. But
that sounds a little silly, doesn't it? I mean, you had already completed university math.
It should be. It should be. Because in order to teach kids, you know, it doesn't matter what subject you teach, you really should be able to, one, to do a simple math. Well, because everyone need to mark their papers. Everyone need to add in the subtracting for sure, right? So this is basic math skills you must have. And also you need to be able to communicate with your students and the parents, regardless what background you have. So the English, GCSE English is a minimum. It's
no argument with the English yeah. since you're not a native English speaker. But for the math, we had to do GCSE math, right, after the fact. But I can suspect the reason why that would still be a requirement is so that you were familiar with the curriculum
yes.
and the content. Not that you couldn't do the math.
Oh, even you are art teacher. You still have to do the GCSE math in the UK.
Oh, so but, did you have to do the GCSE art?
No. Luckily,
that's a double standard, isn't it?
It was. yeah, but that was a big, big, big gap for me. Yeah, it's a big change.
Okay, so we're getting a little away from the university, but it's connected to the university in the sense that you studied this and you went on and did this mathematics. Very much as a part of your career profession. But just for my curiosity, did a light bulb go off at some point that made you decide you wanted to make that switch? Was it a very slow, gradual coming to the realization that you wanted something else? Describe that whole evolution of a decision.
Decision, changing of the career.
Yeah.
I have to say, it wasn't like I'm fed up of being in the financial industry. It was great money, but also it's long hours, it's really pressure. And sometimes you don't work with the nicest people in the world. They can be quite aggressive and rude sometimes. But anyway, regardless, I changed my career is because of my daughter. So that time she started a school. And in the UK, school hours is extremely short for primary students. Mm. So we needed to pick her up at 3:30 in the afternoon. Me and my husband, we both working that time, so we couldn't get that possible. So which means one of us need to think about, you know, as for the whole family, what is going to be the best choice. And I always, always wanted to be like some kind of like teacher. I didn't know I would be a math teacher that time. But then I was thinking, you know what, maybe I could be a math teacher. I could just use my degree knowledge, right, to get into the teaching. So, yeah, that's probably the initial, that's why I switched my career.
Well, let me now go back to what I said I was going to do, which is ask if there's any question about your time at university, or even leading into university, if you wish, any question that I have not asked that you wish I had asked and that you want to talk about? Any big happening, some big part of your experience that has not entered into our conversation yet?
I would say in the university, you need to be prepared for a lot of changes. You need to be ready mentally and physically, because suddenly you must be independent. There is no one to cook for you, to do the laundry, okay? Everything you need to be done basically by yourself. So I would say that's probably something people don't think much before they go to university.
Think about the studies.
Yes.
The course.
They don't think about outside of studies. They don't think about outside of getting the exam done, getting all these, you know, grades done. What else could happen? People actually, that's the time people started having, you know, serious relationships, right? So
I was just wondering where you met your husband.
Not in the university.
Not in the university.
I was too busy.
Okay.
No, but so things like that. And also for our students here in this campus, I would say many of them actually will go to abroad, go to the country that they are not familiar with. So are they ready? Have you done their research? Do they know about the cultures? Do they know much about the cities that they are going to spend 3 or 4 years in there? So this is quite a lot of things to think and plan before actually the university starts.
Yeah, and that whole independence topic is one that parents also need to think about in terms of their little boys and girls that are going off to university and the kinds of responsibilities that they will need to be able to adapt to.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we hope that parents are able to grant their sons and daughters, you know, progressive freedoms as they work their way,
exactly.
Freedom and independence with responsibility as they work through
because the
end of high school in sixth form.
Myself, I was a negative example because like I said, my starting of the university was very challenging. It's not just the academic part. It's also because I didn't know how to cook at all. So the first months in my university life, I was living on toast and chilies and some cheese. Oh dear. Yeah.
You might have, you know what they say is often the case, but clearly maybe not. First year, second year of university, one gains weight. But in your case, maybe you lost weight if you were just surviving on the bare minimum things you could
prepare.
Not sure,
because the too much pressure and unhealthy diet could also gain weight.
Yeah. No, there's all kinds of dynamics going on there. But I mean, it is not uncommon for students to go to university that has a canteen, cafeteria, with a plan that gives them, you know, daily meals. And in some cases, if those meals are sort of all you can eat, they eat.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Yeah. But it would be better if I knew how to cook even some simple dishes, you know, and that can make me survive easily in the first couple of months. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So how today do you sense Southampton affecting your living?
I would say I was lucky that Southampton University is a very well-known university, has good reputation. So it's kind of like giving me the ticket to get on board when I graduated to starting looking for jobs around. Okay, so I would say, thankfully, it wasn't a very ordinary, university. It was quite decent university. And it is very safe as well. It's a safety place and it's a beautiful place. And it was very easy to get into London. And it's also easy to get into the coast. So it was great location. And you can have busy life in the city. You can also have this quiet university life campus as well. So I do want to go back to Southampton to just revisit my university, which I haven't done in the past 20 years, to be honest.
So do up.
Yeah, definitely it's on my to-do list.
Well, I've just got one last question before we end, and that is, how good a cook are you today?
if you ask me 3 years ago before I moved back to China, I was a brilliant cook. I was brilliant. Because, you know, if you want to have some traditional Chinese dishes, it's not easy to find a decent restaurant with reasonable price in the UK, especially outside of London. So you pretty much, people all know how to cook and can cook quite well.
Mm.
Yeah, so, but now after moving back to China, I don't think I have cooked much at all. It's so easy to buy takeaway or go to a restaurant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this because this competition for good cooks is so great here. There are just too many other good cooks around that
well,
you all of a sudden seem mediocre.
Well, I would say, especially that I'm too busy now. Yes.
Yes. Well, listen, it has been a pleasure learning about your experience. And I think everyone else will benefit from hearing from your experience. And thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Great afternoon.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.